To 9-year-old Willie Powell, there was no prettier sight than the smooth grass lawns of Edgewater Golf Course. He had been so eager to see them that he'd run 7 miles to where the course was situated outside of town. But his elation didn't last. When he asked 2 golfers did they teach him the game, one man responded by saying, "Son, didn't anyone ever tell you that your kind is not welcome here?" In the 1920s, there was no place for Willie or any black person on a golf course. It was a game for white people only, at least in America. But his enthusiasm for golf and his belief in what he knew to be right drove Willie Powell to change that and to change minds. Richard Michelson has written the book Twice as Good, telling Powell's story, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Hey, Joe. Good to talk to you again.
Always wonderful to talk to you. I'm always fascinated in your work because you seem to find these stories, and oftentimes in sports, of the little guy who comes and makes an incredible difference. Do you look for that?
Well, I don't think that I'm out looking for it, but when I do happen to come across something, it certainly resonates with me. And I did come across a little story at one point about William Powell and the fact that he literally, I mean, this is amazing, by hand, built an entire golf course. He mowed it. He, you know, he planted it. He, you know, he weeded it. And, you know, if you know the size of a golf course, it took him years. White people thought he was crazy and black people thought he was crazy. And this is before Jackie Robinson integrated baseball, so we're going way back. So when I came across this, I started thinking about how many people are out there making stands, doing what they feel is right, and we never hear about them.
In making those stands, do you think, you know, do they realize the impact that they're having? Because it doesn't, I mean, this is a kid.
Well, I don't know that William Powell really thought in a grand way that he was, you know, he wasn't out to change the world. He was out to change his little piece of the world. He saw something that was wrong, and rather than being bitter or giving up, with grace and dignity, he decided to correct it. And, you know, it's you know, his golf course still exists today. It's still the only golf course in this country built, owned by an African-American. And, you know, he just saw something that was wrong, decided to change it. He welcomed everyone onto his course.
Yeah.
And even at the beginning, he liked to say, the only color that matters here is the color of the greens.
As for telling this story to children and writing children's books, why is it important to tell a story like this, do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, children often, you know, I think they have dreams, they want to do things, but kids in many ways are much more tuned into injustice, I think, than even we adults are. Every day when they go to school, they're walking these minefields of trying to fit in with their peers, yet do what's right and what they think they know about. So I think stories like this one and some of the others I write and other people as well show kids that you can dare to dream, to become who you want to become. Just as important, you should never forget where you came from and the person that you were. So, you know, I think it lets kids see history and to realize as well that it can, you know, history is made in communities all over the country by individuals. You know, I've written books about, as you know, about Martin Luther King, and certainly he's a great man. But Martin was also standing on the shoulders, of, you know, hundreds, thousands of people around this country. And so I think that it's nice for kids to know that they can make a difference in their community and it could spread throughout the world.
One of the things that struck me about the book is here's a story that it was the 1920s, but this has such a timeless feel to it.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think it's, many of my books deal with history. But I think the history itself is really the background wallpaper. If it's not an interesting story that's going to resonate with children today, they're not going to be interested in it. So my job really is to tap into things that are interesting kids, that make them feel like it's happening right now, and yet, you know, the story is set in a time and place, so it gives them a sense of history. And is also, I have to say that as far as we've come, we haven't come far enough. These issues are still in front of us.
And but my point meaning, like, you don't really start off, a child can read this book and not even know that this took place in the 20s. This could have taken place last Thursday.
I think it could have.
Yeah.
And all around the country, it is taking place still. People are prejudiced against. They're not let into places that they should be let into. People still have so much to overcome. And, I take that as a great commendation that you can read it and it feels like it's happening right here.
As with all of your work, beautiful illustrations.
Well, this book is illustrated by Eric Velazquez, who is absolutely an incredible illustrator. And we just had a exhibition of his work out at the Canton Museum of Art, where this story takes place in Canton, Ohio. To see the work is just amazing. And I think Sleeping Bear Press, which did the book, translated the colors beautifully.
How did you get involved in, because you also have the gallery, and represent many children's illustrators, and how did you get involved in that, of having that? I find it interesting that you're not one yourself, and yet you're a writer, but you work with all of these illustrators, and you are, you know, championing them in this way and giving a place to show their work.
Well, I work with so many great illustrators that I'm quite aware of my own lack of talent. But when you're looking at the best every day, my own deficiencies are quite apparent. I have a great eye, I have to say. I love the visual arts. I think that it's very important for children to get introduced to visual expression very early, and it's important, again, almost more so than adults, that their visual literacy is developed and that we introduce them to the very best. So it's certainly a passion of mine, but my own talent is with words.
Hmm. What do you think it is, and from a perspective of someone that wants to own art that comes from these great illustrators, because they're in context in the story, and when you take that page out, they're out of context, but yet they still bring you to a marvelous place in most cases.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think most illustrators really do look at the entire book as one piece of art. So it is often sometimes a bit odd to pull something out of, you know, out of its surroundings, but what we often forget is that, we tend to look down on illustration as opposed to fine art, but we tend to forget that many of our greatest artists, in fact, were illustrators. What was Michelangelo doing if not illustrating a great book? So certainly I think many of the illustrations can stand by themselves, and they continue to move us when they're on the walls.
The new book, as we mentioned, is twice as good. The story of William Powell in Clearview, the only golf course designed, built, and owned by an African-American. How do you research a story like this?
Well, this research came about Most of it was that William Powell had a daughter, Renee Powell, who was in fact followed in his footsteps, and both in social justice issues and as a golfer. She was one of three African Americans ever on the ladies' PGA Tour. And so I was fortunate to have Renee here and able to talk to her. She's become a dear friend, and we've spoken together on many of occasions. Her passion is introducing children, again, of all races, to the game of golf. The First Tee program brings a lot of inner-city kids to golf courses or to the country to teach them sportsmanship and great values. And so Renee certainly was somebody I could rely on to read through my manuscript, help me out a little bit, for as opposed to Eric Velasquez, the illustrator, he got to look through her family albums.
Wow. Yeah, what a treat. So in the next, I assume you're working on something new.
I'm always working on something new. Right now, I'm right now I'm traveling quite a bit. As you know, I'll be in Albany the next couple of days, and then on to Chicago. And hopefully, I'll be back with you next year with the next book.
Excellent. Now, give us a sense. You're going to be at the Children's Book Festival in Hudson on May 5th. You are going to be a part of that festival. You also, this coming weekend, are going to be at the Greenbush Reformed Church on April 29th. You're going to be at the Children's Book Festival this weekend, April 28th. I'm going backwards, as you can see.
Yeah.
And the Children's Book Festival, which is at Albany Academy, as we've talked about earlier in the week, and is going to be a wonderful event. You're going to be there this coming weekend, and then East Greenbush on the 29th at the Greenbush Reformed Church, and then on May 5th, you will be at the Children's Book Festival in Hudson, New York. You can go to richardmichelson.com. That's M-I-C-H-E-L-S-O-N, richardmichelson.com, for more information on all of the events. Richard, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Again, the name of the book is Twice as Good, The Story of William Powell and Clearview, the only golf course designed, built, and owned by an African American. It is published by Sleeping Bear Press. And Richard, thank you very much for being with us.
A pleasure as always.
Thank you very much.